Well, hello, 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 hello. Sounds like the intro to a Pink Floyd song. What's it go after that? Okay. Okay, 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 okay. I didn't know the next lyrics. Okay. Yeah, they are very complicated. Hello, okay, okay, got it. Wow. I'm glad y'all are here. We're going to keep trucking along, and we're going to be okay. We're going to make this. A few words before we get started, actually. I think Matt kind of hit it in his intro, his welcome. This fresh little surge here, it's like we're facing it, kind of say, well, we kind of know what this is. It's like, not again, but it's kind of like we know what this is and we can do this. And I think we can. I know we can. We can do this. We'll link arms, we'll link hearts, and we've already kind of figured out how to cheat the system and keep in touch with each other and love on each other and support each other. And I don't know, I don't think God caused this. I'll never believe that. But this gives us a second chance to maybe learn some lessons that didn't stick the first time. I don't know. We're a stubborn lot. It's kind of like the children of Israel out in the wilderness. They were out there for a while, you know, and all ready to go into the promised land. Okay, now it's time. We've paid our dues. We've had to drink water out of rocks and drink, you know, whatever that manna was, fungus, whatever it was. I don't know what it was. We've had to make do out here, and they sent the spies into the promised land. It didn't go well, and it's like, okay, we're going to have to spend some more time out here. God did that. I'm not saying he did this. We'll see what we learn. We'll just keep exploring new ways of what grace looks like in times like this. We can grumble, we can complain, or we can explore and find new ways to experience grace. Okay, so we're ready to start. I'm Wendell. I'm living loved by Jesus, and I really do sense that. Even though all this crazy crap going down, I really do sense God's love, which I feel so grateful for. And I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse, which something happened the other day. I don't even remember what it was. It was profound, but I forgot it. There's two things profound going on, these aha moments and then old age. And so, you know, so the aha moment got overtaken with the other profound thing, which is old age that I forgot. But I realized I had something. I can't remember the details. Anyway, it was last Sunday night. Yeah, it was last Sunday night. Y'all were so gracious to me and everything. I was not on my game at all last Sunday night. Emotionally, I was flat. When you public speak, after you do it for years, you kind of realize, okay, tonight I'm in a rhythm. Tonight I feel there's a flow. And last Sunday night, it was just like, ugh! It just, nothing was working, and it was all hitting on just three cylinders. And I almost felt at the end like I need to say, I'm sorry, I feel like I needed to issue an apology, but y'all were so gracious, and it wasn't that anybody said anything. Y'all were very gracious, but I went home, and I remember thinking, I don't feel the feelings I used to feel after a night like this, and I thought, it's those voices in my head that always said, you're not good enough, you're a failure, you should have done better, you know, blah, blah, woof, woof, you know, that's a quote from Jimi Hendrix. Remember when he used to say that, blah, blah, woof, woof? Nobody's my generation. You don't remember that? Yeah. But you hear this. It's equivalent to bullshit. So you hear this stuff in your head. And I realized that last Sunday, I didn't hear any of that. It wasn't there. And I thought, oh, wow, that's cool. So when I say I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse, maybe that's getting better. I don't know. You know, maybe that's getting better. I've had issues with eating. I still do. It's going to be the demise of me. Work. Oh! I had some aha moment. This is not about me, so I need to go on another lesson. But this whole thing about work is like, I had some real breakthroughs this week about it. I'll share it sometime when I give my testimony again. But yeah, the work thing is getting better. And what was the other one? Control. is what I always say. And you'll have to ask her about that. I have no idea. Am I still a control freak? Oh, yes. So, not as much. Okay, I'll take that. You're in control of that, so you could issue whatever kind of, you can say whatever you want on that. So anyway, I'm introducing myself. It's all about me. Yeah, let's just stop there. He is under orders to do that. Seriously.
I didn't even think about that. That's funny.
No, but it's true. I have another thing. I'm a blabbermouth. I just push play, and you just sit down and listen. So my brother here, I went to him. I said, dude, you got to help me stop this. So we agreed he'd push that stop button, and he just did. I love it. I dig it. Okay, so hi, everybody. Don't put that in your mouth. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. If you've raised little kids, how many times did you say that? Don't put that in your mouth. You know, you look at gravel, sticks, Dougie-Doo, you name it, you know, leaves and acorns and everything else. They want to put it in their mouths. Don't put that in your mouth. It heads straight for the pie hole, and it's thank goodness we're there watching out for them. And, you know, I've started to think about that this week, I thought, thank God that's a phase. You know, they go through that phase. And then I thought, no, it's really not. It's really not a phase. Because we get used to putting stuff in our mouth that we shouldn't put there. And I'm talking very metaphorical now. We feed on stuff that's not healthy. And Jesus made a statement. He said, it's not what goes into a mouth that defiles you. It's not what goes in here. It's what comes out. But I don't think he was negating the fact, the principle, that it actually does matter what we feed on when it comes to values and influences and information and experiences and relationships. The big things in life that we feast on, that we feed on, that are really our daily bread, relationally, ideologically, you see what I'm saying? Informationally, our daily bread, it does make a difference what we take in. And so I got to thinking, when we're little, we really have no say in the matter. We came up in a house where our mother liked beets. I'm not talking about groovy, funky beets. I'm talking about those little things that grow in the ground that taste like, yeah. Now, my wife loves pickled beets, and I've tried them, and they're edible. You pickle those suckers, they're edible. But the way our mom fed them to us, they are not edible. I'm sorry, they're not edible. But when you're little, you know, what do? They put them in a blender, and they feed them to you on a spoon, and you can spit out all you want, and they just keep shoving it in, you know. And you're there. Think of this stuff when you see little children with their bibs on, and there's food all the way up here and all the way over, but some of it got in because they were force-fed stuff that they really didn't want, but it was, I guess beets are good for you. Theoretically, they're good for you. So when we're little, we're fed. We don't really have a say in our diet when it comes to food and other things. We grow up in a home where we have a steady diet of conflict, or we have a steady diet of deceit, of, you know, there's certain political views in that home, there's certain expectations in that home, there's dress codes, there's lifestyles, there's what's allowed to be said, you know, what words are naughty and what words aren't. Every home's different. And when you grow up in that home, you're not necessarily force-fed, but you don't have a choice in your diet. You live there. You have to live there. And so you hear things, you see things, you're exposed to. So you feed your eyes and your ears. You feed on things that go on in that home, and you don't have anything to say about it. And the thing is when you're little, you don't really want to say anything about it. And I wanted to say something about eating beets. I didn't like that. But a lot of the stuff that you hear at the supper table, a lot of stuff you hear around the living room, you know, afterwards, or out on the back deck when, you know, in the summertime when you're listening to the crickets and the family sitting there talking, a lot of stuff that you hear, it just, you know, nothing else but that. So it just becomes your normal. When I go home, that's what I expect. And so, you know, that's great when it's good, healthy stuff. It's great when we hear people affirming each other or in mentoring each other or guiding each other or even disciplining in a wise way. I'm not anti-discipline. But when you grow up in a healthy situation like that, where it's okay to share your emotions, it's okay to talk about a difference of opinion, it's okay to, you know, those are healthy situations. But when you're little, you don't have a say in that. You don't have a say in, we need to get healthy here. I don't know too many, you know, even junior highers or high schoolers that would have the backbone to say that in a family setting. They may have an inkling that something's wrong, but they really don't have the equipment to think it through and articulate something's wrong here and it needs to be fixed. So they just sit and they absorb it and soak it in. And what's sad is that a lot of this is done in churchy homes. A lot of this is done in pastors' homes, you know, in priests. Well, no, priests don't have families. Sorry, didn't get that one right. But, you know, religious leaders. It happens in spiritual leaders' homes and in elders' homes and deacons' homes. And there's all this stuff that goes on. And so the child grows up thinking, not only is this normal in a family, but God's good with this. God stands behind this. Because right now my mom and my dad are my God reps. This is the steady diet they're feeding me. So this must have God's stamp of approval. You know, the FDA, well, it's got God's stamp of approval. So this is probably how I ought to believe and how I ought to talk and how I ought to treat other people. This is how I should do. My problem, and I think probably some of you, if you didn't have this, you probably wouldn't be here tonight. But my problem is I hit a certain stage in my life, and there was this gut feeling. I couldn't even put it in words, but there was this gut feeling of something's not right here. That something is not consistent. We're saying one thing and we're doing something else, you know? And, you know, our dad was a pastor. He was our pastor. So we hear what he's saying up there, but what happens at home is not consistent with what he's saying up there. We lived in Wilmore, which is called the Holy City, Asbury College, Asbury Seminary. Everybody's a believer there. Everybody's a PhD, a master's, or an evangelist, or a preacher, or something. They got some sort of little badge they wear that certifies them as like a number one powerful Christian, you know, leader type. My gracious, I mowed their lawns and delivered their papers and dated their daughters. And whoa, what was said? And they wrote these books on holiness and righteousness and everything. And I was forced to read them in school, in college, and seminary. So, but I knew them. And it was like, wow, no, this is... So you see what I'm saying? So some of us have this inkling as we're coming up that what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is not consistent with what they say is their company line or their set of beliefs or whatever. So that you get this restlessness. Or they're asking me, here's the other part of it, they're asking me to think and feel things and say things and believe things and follow things that I personally don't feel comfortable with. They're asking me to distance myself from that person. I don't feel comfortable with distancing myself from that person. They're asking me to vote a certain way. I don't feel comfortable voting that way. I'd rather vote this way. So you see what I'm saying? You get these feelings that something's not right. But here's the other case, okay? Because this is coming down to recovery. This is coming down to where we are. I've been at this for 15 years now, over 15. It was 05 when we started this, and I've been in it from just a few weeks after it started. I've been in CR/Pathway. You kind of get a feel for things after a while. You don't even have to be a rocket scientist to do it. You just kind of get a feel for things after a while. And I've watched people come and go in this recovery ministry, and I've watched them get into groups, and I've watched them work the steps, and I've watched them work specific things like anger issues, codependency issues, you know, all kind of different workbooks that we've had. And I've watched them make strides. Some of them make big, giant strides. Some of them make tiny steps, but I've seen the movement. I've watched them grow. I've watched them move from an unhealthy state to a healthier state, to a healthier state, to a healthier state. I've watched that. But then I've watched other people who over the years have not changed, have not moved one inch. They've not changed at all. And I thought, that's what this is all about. That's why I wrote this. This is the blog I posted last Monday. So I thought, why are these people stuck? Why are they not making progress? Why are they not finding healing? And the only thing I could come up with, and I could be wrong, but the one thing that made sense to me is they keep feasting on the same thing. They're putting things in their mouth that are not healthy. They're putting things into their mind, into their soul, and there's lots of ways we could do this. Through the news that they choose to watch, through their associations, the certain people they choose to hang out with all the time, through the authors they read, through the teachers, preachers, slash whatever, like leader type, mentor type people they follow, whatever. The influences that they continue to feed on. Some of them I know and some of them I don't. And I think, well, no wonder you're stuck, because you're feeding yourself things that aren't healthy. You're continually taking in that which isn't healthy. So, you know, you've heard, I mean, recovery is full of cliches. And one of the first ones I ever heard when I came clear back, way back, and this cliche is, it sounds kind of cute, but it's very, very true. If nothing changes, nothing changes. If we just keep walking down the same rut, if we keep feeding ourselves the same stuff over and over and over, and our diet, we have a steady diet of toxic input through relationships, through information, through whatever, you know, we have a toxic constant intake, nothing's going to change. We're stuck right where we're at. Okay, so somebody said, well, I give him credit for it, and I always have. Bill Hopkins said about 2 or 3 years ago, he said, how do you know if you're in denial? You always have to wait, and everybody's like, oh. It has to sink in. How do you know if you're in denial? So how do you know? How do you know if a voice is toxic? How do you know if an author you're reading is toxic, or a news channel you're watching is toxic, or a set of relationships you're involved in is toxic? How do you know that? You know, how are you going to tell? Because we kind of tend to gravitate toward authors, teachers, preachers, newscasters, politicians, you name it, people out here who are kind of leading the charge in whatever field they're in. We tend to follow ones who we tend to agree with. You know, I agree with their viewpoint. I agree with their stand they take on this, this, and this. So how do you know whether they're toxic or not? And I actually passed this through a therapist this morning. I went to Greenwood, and in the band there's a therapist. And so between services, I had a conversation. I said, I want to tell you what I'm teaching on tonight. And I said, I want to check something by you, see what you think. And I got his stamp of approval. I'm not going to give you his name because I don't want you to attack him if you don't like this idea. But anyway, here's my opinion on this. If we're watching a newscast, or we're reading a book, or we're watching a TV show, or if we're listening to a pastor, or if we're listening to a podcast, whatever, wherever the source of information, if we go to a gathering of a bunch of people we usually hang with, and granted, we go there because we kind of agree with it. We go there because it's familiar to us. We go there because that's where we usually get our information. If we go to these places and 5-10 minutes in, we start feeling anxious. We start feeling angry. We start feeling sad, unusually sad. Or we start feeling depressed, or we start feeling dark, or we start feeling hopeless. And we start, isn't that, okay, so if you stick, okay, just truth between me and Loretta. If we stick a beet in our mouth, if we stick a beet in our mouth, instantly our taste bud says, "Ugh!" You know what I'm saying? So how do you do that emotionally, mentally, spiritually? How do you know that when you're feeding yourself, because it comes through here and it comes through here, when you're feeding yourself, how do you know it's toxic? You don't have taste buds, so how do you know if it's toxic? And so I think these are the things. My emotions were okay prior to this exposure. And even though I agree with this, or it's my usual place that I go, or the usual people I hang out with, 10 minutes in, all of a sudden I'm feeling myself worried, angry. I'm feeling feelings that I wasn't feeling prior to that. I think that's a fairly good indicator that what you're exposing yourself to is probably not healthy if it's upsetting you. So I guess the idea, you notice I don't sound uber confident on myself, but this is my best guess, okay? This is just my best guess. So again, I'd go back to that cliche. If nothing changes, nothing changes. At some point, back up. I had lunch with another therapist friend of mine. I get free therapy all the time. It's great. I don't have to pay for it. I just got a bunch of friends who are therapists. So I just, let me run something by you. You know, hypothetically, what? But anyway, so I had lunch with another therapist Wednesday at Griff's. And, where was I going with this? My rabbit trails. I'm old. It sucks. Anyway, I was running some of this stuff by him as well. And the idea being that, I know where I was going with this, that he's gotten to the place now, he's a believer, he loves Jesus. He will actually do the Jesus thing that Jesus did with the guy by the pool of Bethesda that had been there for, what, 3 decades, almost 4, whatever. That he looks at the guy and he asks him what everybody's like, "What'd you ask that for?" The question makes all the sense in the world. He looked at the guy and he said, "Do you want to get well?" That was the question he asked. And so the therapist friend of mine said, "I've begun to ask some of my clients that. Do you really want to get well?" And so I'm not wanting to end this with a heavy hand tonight or with a sour note or whatever. But I think that if we feel like we're stuck in some way, we're stuck in our recovery, I think we would do well to ask ourselves, do we really want to get well? And what will we do to make, you know, to contribute to that? God's the one who heals us. And in that case by the guy by the pool, the only thing he had to do is stand up, roll up his mat, and walk. That's all he had to do. But he had to do that. He couldn't keep living by the pool and have a normal, responsible life. So I think we need to ask ourselves, you know, do we really want to get well? Do we want to change? And then I think it would be good for us to do, I know I've got to ask myself, what are you watching? What are you taking in? The news, because I've tweaked my news some, because I've thought some of the stuff that pops up on my computer is not, 5 minutes in, I'm in a mood. 5 minutes in, I've got emotions that are not healthy. I don't want them there. And it doesn't matter whether I agree with what they're saying or not. I'm worked up, and there's nothing I'm going to do about it or can do about it. So why am I putting this stuff in me? You see, to drag myself down, because a sick me is not going to help you at all. It's not going to help the person in front of me at all. So I think we need to ask ourselves the question: do I want to get well, and am I willing to do maybe some experimentation with my diet, not my food, but my diet? Well, maybe we need to with the food, but with the information and the relationships. And the ideas that we're putting in. Maybe we need to examine that some. And to be honest, I don't know that I want to do this solo. I think I would like to enlist the help of a couple of people I trust. And to me, it'd be good for me anyway to sit down with them and say, this is my routine. This is my daily routine. This is what I do in the morning when I get up. This is what I do before I go to sleep at night. These are the books I'm reading. These are the things I'm watching in terms of news input. These are the relationships. And have another party be able, because they don't have a dog in this race. You know, they're not, and let them speak. You find somebody you can trust. So find somebody who really loves you, and they can speak into your life. Well, you know, as soon as you said that, that gave me pause. As soon as you said that, I kind of, you know, I'm not so sure. I don't know. You got people you can trust? I've got people I can trust. So I know I can do this. Anyway, whew. Clear as mud. I had a math teacher used to say that. Clear as mud. She'd put this big equation up and turn around. Clear as mud. We called her Mama Lowry. You don't remember Mama Lowry? Yeah. She was something. Anyway, so let's talk to Jesus. Jesus, thanks for caring about us, and thanks for the way you moved around and touched people and asked questions and started conversations that we're privy to. Somebody cared enough to write them down, and we can watch how you dealt with people. And we hear your question. It's pointed at us. We got our own pool we've been sitting by for a long time on our little mat, our little comfort mat. And you're looking at us and saying, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And I want to think my answer to you would be yes. I would love to raise my hand and say, yes, I want to get well. And so each one of us, I guess, tonight are kind of faced with this same question. And it's going to sound different to each one of us, and you're going to deal with each one of us differently. But thanks for listening and thanks for caring. It does something to my heart to know that you love me more than I love myself. That's pretty cool. So we'll talk to you later. It's all yours, Matt.